Kane is in the building.
Guys, I just got some new shirts from Liberty Shirt Co. And I gotta tell you, these shirts are amazing. They stretch like workout clothes, they're breathable, and super soft. I love these shirts. And you could get your own Freedom Flex Performance shirts by going to www.libertyshirtco.com. And when you use the promo code 3PEAT at checkout, you will save 10% on your order. That's www.libertyshirtco.com and promo code 3PEAT.
Hello, and welcome back to another 3P podcast episode. This is season 5, episode 7. Once again, I'm your host, Josh Fromwitz, and joining me are my co-hosts,
Alex Castle
and Stephen Benazzo.
And I wish we had better news to talk about. Well, that's not true. We do have good news to talk about, but first, we're going to start with the bad news. And that's, of course, baseball. The lockout is in full effect, unfortunately. And there's really no end in sight. I want to be optimistic. You boys want to be optimistic. We miss our Yankee baseball, but it looks like dark days are here to stay for the time being. So, Stevie, I want to start with you. Last time we spoke about this, we were trying to be optimistic, but we knew the reality was that there's a good chance that this past week, so this past Monday, was the deadline. We really thought that no deal would happen and the lockout would continue, and that was true. But we were hoping some miracle would happen because we kept seeing reports that the deals were getting closer and closer and closer. And then it just seemed like with every step forward, there were two steps back, and it was very frustrating. So now we know that the regular season at least will be delayed. What's next now? Inform us who love baseball, like, what is the next step in hopes that we could get a season?
Well, that's a good question, and it's not only is it a good question, it's a tough question. And that's what fans are asking, and that's what these players are also asking, and owners kind of, but more the players. So what's next? Next is these two sides, the MLB and the MLBPA, have to keep on meeting. They have to keep on meeting and keep coming up with solutions on how to solve things. And both sides, you know, yes, both sides want to, they don't want to completely just give up on their part, you know, and just like say like, well, we want this. And then in order to get a season, you know what, we'll just scrap what we want. Like, yes, they, as much as they want to play, they want to hold their beliefs strongly, and that's fair. But I think both sides have to lessen up a little bit. Like, the players, as much as, like, obviously what they want, it's probably what a lot of the fans want too, because obviously if the players are happy, then they're playing well, they're going out there, they're excited to be out there, and that's what makes the fans happy, because then it's better product on the field. But at the same time, if the owners are not going to budge, there's got to be a point where the players have to not completely scrap everything that they want, but maybe loosen up their plan a little bit and really negotiate well. But then same with the owners. So both sides really have to put everything away, and they have to focus on obviously the fans, but really the state of baseball, the game of baseball. I mean, this is it's a beautiful sport. It's America's pastime. And already you could see baseball was starting to not have that same kind of, I'm losing the word that I want to come up with, but
it's losing its beauty.
Beauty, yeah. It's losing its beauty, its appeal. So they have to come up with a way to, in order to get that, and especially with this lockout is not helping that case at all. But what I really find important and what I really find what I like about this, and you see some of the bigger players, especially like Mike Trout just came out, I believe it was Monday, and he came out and released something, or maybe it was Wednesday, whatever. It was earlier in the week. And he said on social media, he said, obviously, they would love to play baseball. They wish they were in spring training right now. But unfortunately, deal wasn't done yet. And they're not even, obviously, they're focused on getting this deal done for the current state of Major League Baseball, but for the generations coming next, for the future of baseball. You know, they don't want it to be left in a bad place. They want to continue the rest of their careers in a good place, and they want it to be followed up by them in a good place with these next players taking over where they are. So, and that's not just talent and what you're watching, but that's all the money and everything else that goes into the MLB. So what's next? That's it, in my opinion. Keep meeting. And teams and both sides really have to be open-minded and really, really being able to negotiate. I mean, yes, it is a business. Like you guys are businessmen. You know, you negotiate all these other contracts and everything. Why can't you negotiate this? And I think it's really, I think Rob Manfred's just not the right person to be handling this. That's why you don't see a deal. That's just my opinion. I can go into a whole nother rant on that one, but I'm not. But you just gotta, you know, now I'm just kind of talking nonsense. So you just gotta keep meeting and negotiate with each other. And hopefully we don't miss any, cancel any more games. I mean, the fact that he couldn't even postpone them, the fact that he just canceled them was just a little crazy too.
And the sad thing about it is we know baseball is America's pastime, but the reality is, it isn't that anymore. I saw a stat that the average age for baseball in the last 5 or 6 years is now 50 years old, which is ridiculous, which is crazy to think about when you see sports like hockey, football, basketball, all somewhere between 20 to 30 to maybe at most 40 years old as the average age. I hate to say it, but it just seems like baseball is becoming a dying sport. But Castle, I'm going to ask you the next question. So Steve and I clearly have like no idea what's next. And I'm not going to ask you that because I'm sure you'll have a very similar answer. But in terms of the players, do you see them possibly looking to play overseas for this year?
I think you will see some guys play overseas. Yeah. You know, because look, we saw the same thing happen with the lockout with the NBA. Guys would go play over in Europe. So what's the difference here with baseball? You know, if you want to be the best and compete with the best, you gotta stay in shape. And I think, you know, training, you know, going to the gym, going to a trainer, that can only do so much. Physically being on the field, playing in the field, swinging the bat, it doesn't compare. So I think you will see guys that will continue to play in these other leagues if we don't have a season, and not just keeping in shape, but it's also a mental thing. You know, having these guys sit at home watching other professional sports continue, and they're just sitting around waiting for Manfred to finally take the step in the right direction. That's not good for anyone. But I'm saying specifically if for these baseball players. In this scenario now, sitting around and waiting for something to happen, it's not good. So I think a combination of that and wanting to keep their hand in the game, I think you'll see some big names definitely go play overseas now. You know, some of these guys, I'm not really too sure where they would play, like Mike Trout. I don't know where I would see him playing overseas, but it wouldn't shock me if he teamed up with some other people on the Angels, or, you know, you see these other guys team up and try to go play overseas somewhere to keep that camaraderie together. I could definitely see it, but, you know, we're all in the same boat where we don't want that to happen. And I just want to, you know, something that Steve mentioned before that really sat with me was he talked about how this is the players want to do what's best for the future, right? And that's why I feel that they should not give in to Manfred at all, because, you know, we touched upon it a little bit last show. You got guys in the minors sleeping in their car and getting paid less than guys riding the bench in the NBA. If the MLB players give in even a little bit, I could see it backfiring in the future. And this is especially for a sport that the average age is, for a viewer, is 50, which is crazy to think about. So I think these guys are going to do whatever they can, whether it's continuing to stand their ground or play overseas, to do whatever they can to prepare themselves for the future of the league. Because like you guys, you know, I'm definitely going to miss Yankee baseball and the MLB as a whole if this is what it comes to in the end.
Now, here's my question, because I don't know. And I mean, obviously, I don't know. We really maybe have to do some deep research into this. But because I would agree with you, Castle, that if there is not a season, or if there's going to be a very small season, if anything, like even smaller than the COVID one 2 years ago, that guys would look to play in other sort of professional leagues or, you know, in other countries in professional leagues. The only thing, though, is in their contract, does it allow them to do that?
They're technically not under contract because of the lockout. The MLB had own rights to the players, but since they're in a lockout, the players technically are unemployed by the MLB.
So even guys who are like 10-year
deal, yeah, the 10-year deal guys are
okay.
It's not like they're a free agent and they could sign with other teams,
but their contracts are void right now.
But their contracts technically are not, they're not employed by MLB. So,
oh, so then yeah,
that's why guys can't negotiate free agencies, free agency contracts right now. So it's no different than a guy who's currently signed player. They can't make money for the Yankees. So guy like Stan can stay in shape by playing in the Dominican Republic, and that's not an issue.
Okay, so that clears things up, because I'm sure, you know, not just me, but I'm sure a lot of people out there may not have known that situation, because I know those contracts, there's a lot into them, a lot of small details where we don't realize. We just see, oh, they signed a $300 million contract, but you don't know all the fine details in them. So I didn't know if in there was like, you know, you're not allowed to play in any other leagues during this contract. But since, like you said, that makes sense now. So yeah, then I'm for it. I think the players should, you know, like, and I'm, you know, obviously you don't want to necessarily see them play and then they get hurt in these other leagues. But at the same time, like, they're not going to, especially since COVID, you know, 2 years ago, they didn't play a full season. Then they finally got a full season. Like, it's been a crazy couple. Like, they want to just return to normalcy. And it's been tough for them between COVID and now this lockout. And these poor guys, like, I'm sure all they want to do is just play baseball, play some ball. And especially a guy like Acuna, a superstar who got hurt, rehabbing, just looking forward to getting back. And now he has no idea when, or like a Mike Trout. You have teams who are in, like the Yankees, who have been in contention for World Series. And like, you think finally, is this our year? And then now they have to wait even longer. So, and then plus their bodies, like around this time, this is spring training. Their bodies are now used to now being kind of in game mode, like getting ready for the season. So their bodies are like, all right, let's do this. But then in reality, now they're in their mind, but now they have to like tell themselves like, no, like, again, they can practice on their own and train on their own, but they can't do really baseball activities with their teams or against other teams. And I think, you know, it could hurt how they perform if there is a season. So it's, there's a lot of variables that are going on right now. And it is, I mean, I just got a notification too. I don't know if you guys got one, that four owners voted against the latest proposal that MLB submitted to the MLB Players Association. So it's not even the MLBPA, declined, like four owners that were probably part of the think they didn't like the deal at all. So I don't know if the deal was more in favor of the players that the MLB just recently submitted, or if those owners were more on the player's side and then the deal was more in favor of the, you know, Rob Manfred and the other owners who may be kind of one like sided. So it's going to be continue to be a interesting topic of discussion. And I just hope, like, I mean, there's nothing better than going to a ballpark. I mean, obviously we're Yankees fans, but like, I'll go to any ballpark on a summer night and have a, I mean, I don't like beer, so whatever, I'll find a drink, but like, you know, have some nice greasy overpriced ballpark food, you know, be with your boys and then just enjoy a nice game. I mean, like, nice weather, you know, come on. Is there anything better than that?
No, I agree with you, Steve. There's nothing like it, and we'll certainly miss it, but we're going to continue to monitor it because we are hopeful that now players and owners realize that now that this is a reality, they might be more in, they might be more enticed to get a deal down and at least try to get a season in, whether it's 140 games, 120, 80, it doesn't really matter. We just want a season at this point, and the players do too. Hopefully the owners do as well, but you can't bet on that.
But no, I do have one last thing. I'll be quick. It's a quick question. You know how like everyone was saying with the COVID year, there'll be an asterisk and all that. If there is a season this year, you think they'll have an asterisk too or no?
I'm only going to say no because of how much the players wanted this season to play. And COVID, I personally didn't count that as an asterisk either, just because of what every player had to go through and deal with to make the season a successful one. So I personally don't consider that an asterisk either. The only one I would consider an asterisk is the Astros World Series, but that's it.
I can agree with you.
Good.
Yeah. And plus too, like in the COVID one, like even, you know, players like didn't play because of the health concerns, but then teams still had to make up for their losses. But then this year, everyone was going to be playing unless they got hurt. So it was, you know, would have been a normal season if it wasn't for the no agreement.
Yeah. And we'll continue to follow it, like I said, because we really wanted to see some Yankee baseball. Those long summer months won't be the same without it. But on a lighter topic, we got the final stretch of hoops. Less than 20 games remaining. Stevie, your Bulls are looking pretty good at sitting at the top three in the East with enough games to make that push up to the top. Only five games separate first through one through five, I believe. So even the Nets now with Kevin Durant coming back, looking healthy, the Nets could jump out of a play-in spot. Crazy that I'm saying that now that the Nets are in a play-in spot. A month and a half ago, the Nets were sitting in first place. So crazy how loaded the East is. Castle, the Knicks. I'm sorry I have to do this to you, but we're going to talk some Knicks first. I know you're rolling your eyes. You're making faces at me because this is the last thing you wanted to talk about, and enjoy your night after a long work day.
I have to be prepared to talk about the dumpster fire that is the New York Knicks. So bring it on.
There are bright spots, and RJ Barrett is looking like a bright spot, which is a very good thing for the Knicks. I can't say there's many other bright spots, though. It's clear that the Knicks season is a wash now. So just restate the obvious and just tell the listeners what the Knicks need to do to make sure that this offseason heading into next year also doesn't become a waste.
You know, it's really tough because there was a lot of optimism going into this season with Kemba and Fournier and the season that Randle was coming off of. But as we've seen now, Kemba's done for the season. Fournier is very inconsistent. One night he's making shots like it's his job, which is his job, which is why we're paying him all this money. And then the other night he's going 0-for-5. And then you have Randall, who is also inconsistent. And the disappointing thing with Randall is I truly believe he let New York and last season take him over mentally. Brings the Knicks to the playoffs, lose in the first round. Okay, you know what? They lost. Yeah, it sucked losing to Trae Young, whatever. But hey, at least we got to the playoffs. At least we were showing potential. Comes into this season inconsistent, not motivating guys in the locker room. Rumors that he wants to leave New York. I mean, rumors that the Knicks would possibly trade him. I mean, you name it, and he's been thrown into it. And he's just handled it very poorly. You know, I think there was that one incident where, like, he flipped off MSG fans or something like that.
The infamous thumbs down gesture.
Yeah. So that's not leadership. And you have to have, you got to be a special type of person to take on a leadership role in arguably the biggest market in all sports. Now, I'm not too good with contracts and the technicality and whatnot, so you guys will have to elaborate on this a little better. But what I think the Knicks need to do is find a way to trade Randall. I think he's not going to want to accept taking a role, anything but being the star, which he's not anymore, which you pointed out, Josh. RJ Barrett is the bright spot for this team. I love the work that he's been putting in to develop so many different aspects of his game. I think he's a very humble young man. I think he's got some great mentorship in his background. Shout out Steve Nash, his godfather. So I'm sure he's been instrumental in RJ coming up in the league with Duke and with the Knicks. And I like RJ a lot. I'll admit I had frustrations with him, but he's really shown me that he can lead this team. So build around him. Find a way to move Randall. Move Fournier. It's tough to say because it would be great if he can get into a rhythm, because I'll tell you, the beginning of the season, there were some games where this guy wouldn't miss. Like, I think I watched one game where he made 6 to 7 threes in a row. So if we can somehow find a way to get back to that Fournier, okay, get rid of Kemba. I want to keep Mitchell Robinson. I still like him. I know that he could be a piece to trade to, but keep him and just start playing the young guys. And hopefully Thibodeau, who's not a big young guy player, can maybe start to see that these vets are not, you know, putting in the work and these younger guys are showing potential. I don't know. I think it's a combination of coaching and personnel and some of these guys stepping up a little more, but I think the biggest thing the Knicks need to do is find a way to trade Julius Randle. I think that experiment has failed.
So the Julius Randle part is pretty much a given for Knicks fans. The only problem is he's got 3 more years remaining on his deal. So he's a Knick for the next 3 more years. He signed a 4-year, $117 million contract this past offseason.
Right, so no one's going to take that on.
Basically. No one wants to take that contract on. He's going to be 31, 32, and that contract extends. And to be honest, what it's looking at me at right now is he's regressed from last year big time, which even if he's not further improving his game, you still want to see a consistency. And Julius Randle just hasn't shown that, let alone the lack of leadership and all of that. Fournier, you're spot on. I don't need to dive into that more. But the rookies and the young guys, it seems like we're saying this every single episode. Guys like Obi Toppin and Emmanuel Quickley won't be able to further take that next step of growth if they're not getting the minutes. Cam Reddish was brought in. And yes, I get Tom Thibodeau said he personally didn't sign off on it, but who cares? He's a lottery pick from 3 years ago, college teammates with RJ Barrett. He's 6'8", an elite defender, a 3-and-D guy. He could fit in anywhere. No reason Alec Burks should be playing 35 minutes and you can't find Cam Reddish to get more than 10 minutes a night. It's kind of ridiculous. He's a 15-point scorer if he gets the minutes. He's just that kind of guy. Mitchell Robinson, I think, is done with the Knicks. He's a free agent. I don't see the Knicks being able to sign and trade him, especially for what they would be able to get for him. He's a center who can't shoot. Those aren't useful in the NBA anymore. He's a great defender, but he's not a stretch guy who could shoot threes like a Karl Anthony Towns, Embiid, Jokic, all those guys. So Mitchell Robinson's probably gone. I do want to see the Knicks give Jericho Sims more minutes, because in the few minutes that he has been getting, he looks like he's a true center. And I really think the Knicks have something special with him. And I think he's the type of guy to be able to develop a shot, not Mitchell Robinson.
Another friend of mine, it's all he does has been harping on Sims lately. It's so funny you mentioned that. And you know what?
And it makes up for Jared Allen being in Cleveland, because he has an afro, so... At least there's a fro back in New York.
You made a really good point, though, that I didn't even think about. Aside from what shooting has, how shooting the ball has evolved in so many guys' games, and how the importance of having a good jump shot has evolved in the NBA, having a center that can shoot is pretty, or not even shoot, who can consistently score. And that's one of Robinson's biggest flaws, aside from the fact that, yeah, he's stupid tall, but he's lanky, and he's had his stints with injuries. So I do agree that we probably won't re-sign him. I wouldn't totally be opposed, but you know what? Could be one of those situations where he might need a new change of scenery, and he might need a coach who can take the time to really work with him and take advantage of his strengths. Cause I think Thibodeau's probably burnt out on him.
Yeah.
You might see it differently, but
I agree. And we've seen in his given past that Thibodeau is not the guy to develop young guys. We saw that with Zach LaVine, which brings me to my next guy, the guy who currently has Zach LaVine on his team. And that would be Stevie B with the Chicago Bulls. I'm sure you were happier in the beginning of the season than you are right now. You were probably more comfortable with the way the Bulls were playing. But with what you have been getting from DeMar DeRozan for the last month or so, I feel like all Bulls fans are spoiled right now, because it seems like every single night, you know, DeMar DeRozan is going to score 35 points or more on a very efficient night, because he's not a three-point shooter. He just knocks down mid-range shots. You know where he's shooting from, and you know you're not going to be able to stop it, because he's going to make it. But the Bulls' defense just hasn't been the same. And that's probably their big weakness right now, is there's no defense. And that's probably because of the injuries. No Caruso and no Lonzo Ball definitely takes a hit to your defense. So Stevie B, there's 19 games remaining. There's optimism that guys like Pat Williams, Lonzo Ball, Alex Caruso should all be back within those next 19 days. And I'm optimistic too. But do you think that's enough time to get everyone gelled together again and make that playoff run that the Bulls are very much capable of?
I don't think they'll finish with the number one seed. I think the Heat will finish with the number one seed, or the Sixers, to be honest, because the Sixers are playing so well. But hey, you don't like that, huh? But I will say this though. I'm almost happier now. And for this reason, with what the Bulls have gone through with all these injuries and everything, the fact that they're still playing this well and that guys are stepping up for playing this well, that's making me more happy, because I expected, you know, I mean, I thought last year we were so much better by getting a new coach, by getting Billy Donovan and, like, you know, having like Saturnowski out of the lineup. And then when we got Vucevic, I thought, yeah, that's a big help. But then when we signed, you know, DeRozan and Ball and then Caruso, I was like, wow, like this is a pretty solid five on paper. So I expected them to win more games than they have the past couple of years. And then when they were, I was like, all right, like this is nice. Like I was very happy, but I was expecting it because these are top, like these are some of the top guys in the league. But I'm happier now because with all that's gone through, like DeMar's really put this team on his shoulders. And Vucevic, you know, he's not scoring as much and he may not be the number one guy like he used to be in Orlando, but he's not complaining. He's just fulfilling his role. And then Ayo Dosunmu is stepped up big time and he's been playing great. And the same thing, LaVine, like he's still getting his shots down, but he's not like, obviously everyone now is talking about DeRozan. So he's not really like mad about maybe not being the number one scorer anymore on that team. So guys are just, I'm loving the guys, the roles that they're taking and embracing them. And that's why I've been so happy. And then doing it with guys that are playing a lot more minutes, like a Javonte Green. I don't know why I was thinking Smart. I like blinked there for a second, but Javonte Green, like this dude gives some awesome dunks and like, he's got some serious hops and like, and there's games where he may score 2 points, but he's there defensively and makes a clutch plays here and there. And then there's some games where he's like 5 for 5 and like 3 for 3 from the 3-point line. And then Coby White off the bench, you know, Coby White was drafted to be like the next point guard for the Bulls. And he hasn't really gone into that, but he's embracing his time off the bench and being the number one guy off the bench. And I think, to be honest, that's when he plays his best. So I'm just so happy to see these guys taking these roles, embracing them, and just playing true to their game. You know, DeMar's not trying to do anything more. He's a mid-range guy. Vucevic is a defensive guy, you know, but he also knows that he has some offensive capability. Coby White knows he likes to shoot, so he shoots. Same thing, LaVine, he likes to do his little step back and then shoot. Like, so these guys are just playing their game, and I think that's why they play so well together, and that's why they're the number two seed in the East right now. The only concern I have, and that's besides injuries, is we need to beat the top teams. We haven't been able to beat Miami, and in order to be a great team, which I think they are, and I believe they really are, you have to beat the great teams, and haven't been able to beat Philly, haven't been able to beat Miami, so you need to beat these teams, especially – you know, if we beat Miami or even split it, we would be almost tied for first right now. And then Philly's approaching. So if they keep winning more games, you know, they'll have the head to head against us. So we need to start beating some of the top teams because yes, it's good to beat the teams you're supposed to beat, but you also need to beat the teams that are the best teams in the league because then you're not going to make a playoff. You're not going to win anything if you can't beat those top teams. So that's the only concern I have. And listen, I think they'll figure it out. And especially these are just one games now. Once you start playing a series, that's really going to determine, you know, who's truly a contender and who isn't. So, but I do think my Bulls have a run in them. And I can say they'll win the NBA championship, but I think a lot of people are not counting them in. You know, a lot of people like DeMar DeRozan's been flying under the radar. Now, finally, he's been getting some recognition after he won like 8 straight games with 35 plus points, 50% shooting at least. So it's finally, and I kind of like being having the underdog, like, you know what, don't give us all this attention. But I do think they have a bit of a run in them. I really like the pieces that we have. Billy Donovan's a great coach, and you know, the city of Chicago is loving it now. I mean, Bulls games a couple years ago were, you know, they weren't really selling out like they used to. And now the United Center is rocking again for the Bulls basketball. And it's the whole city's loving behind them. And I really like the pieces that we have. We have young guys, but veteran guys. And, you know, I think there's a lot to be excited for with Chicago. And not only as speaking as a fan of the Bulls themselves, but as a fan of basketball and fan of the players that put on that uniform.
Hey, as a Nets fan, I love watching the Bulls. I think they're a very fun team. DeMar DeRozan should definitely get MVP votes for what he's done and kind of made the Bulls relevant and carried them, because there are many times this year that the Bulls could have easily fallen off to out of the playoffs because of what lineups they were throwing out. But for DeRozan to just be doing what he has been doing the last month or so, especially, is kind of just ridiculous. So the Bulls are going to be a fun team, and I really hope that they get their pieces back soon, because when healthy, they're, in my opinion, one of two, three favorites to come out of the East this year. And then switching gears from one MVP favorite to another, you might think I'm talking about Joel Embiid. I'm not. I'm talking about John Morant. What he is doing, in my opinion, I think he should be the MVP right now of basketball. You look at what talent he has around him and what the Memphis Grizzlies are doing. If John Morant doesn't get MVP consideration, then in my opinion, then that just means the most valuable player award doesn't mean what it should. Joel Embiid is definitely going to get votes, and I'm not discrediting that. But if you look at the talent that Philly has as opposed to what Memphis has or what Chicago has or what Brooklyn has, John Morant is by far, has by far a less talented team. And what he is doing nightly is just so special. It's reminding me of the 2011-2012 Chicago Bulls with Derrick Rose, the 22-year-old MVP. It's so fun to see. And Stevie, I'm going to start with you, just because you grew up watching Derrick Rose, even though Alan Hahn might think otherwise because you said Jimmy Butler is the reason why you're a Bulls fan. I know you grew up watching Derrick Rose and idolizing him. What do you agree with me that, like, John Morant is probably in the MVP conversation? And do you, what do you like from this Grizzlies team?
Well,
it's a loaded question. I know. I'll let you answer one of that.
Well, I do think, well, he definitely should be in the MVP conversation, and I think he will, and I think he end up will be. To be honest, I think DeMar and John Morant should be the top two. And either way, I will not be upset. And nothing against Joel Embiid. I mean, maybe a little bit, but not too much. Just because, like you were saying, the definition with MVP is most valuable player. Like, without DeMar this year, yeah, I don't think the Bulls would be nearly as good or where they are at. And without John Morant, the Grizzlies sure as hell not where they're at. And with this, like, I mean, this dude just absolutely balls. I mean, he dropped 46 as a career high. And then the next night he dropped like what, 52? I mean, it was absurd. And like,
and he had arguably the dunk of the year. And that wasn't even like his best play from the night.
No.
It's just insane what he's doing.
And he's just like, this dude's such a high flyer, so competitive, always giving it his all. He can do everything. And I saw him in March Madness when he played for Murray State, when it was.
I did too.
And that was the, I'm so glad that we both were able to go, because, and I don't know about you, but I know, I mean, it was Murray State, Marquette. Marquette's a well-known, respected program, but Murray State wasn't. And John Morant was dominating Marquette. And he, like, when you watched him play, like, his passes, they were just like, they looked like NBA passes. The plays that he was setting up to get guys open was like, you see, like, man, this dude's going to have a lot of success at the next level. And then just shoot. And then that freaking alley-oop he had. And I mean, like, he had XL Center rocking because of him. No one else really did. And he put Murray State on the map, because, to be honest, I never heard of them until them. And then now they're ranked. They're really good this year, because people are like, oh, shoot. Well, John Morant was the number two overall pick a couple years ago, and now he's one of the best players in the league. Where'd he come from? Murray State. So that's just kind of the impact that he's having on the Grizzlies, what he did at Murray State and just in this league. And that's why I think he is a strong MVP candidate. And you're going to start seeing people like, obviously people, you know, maybe people get kids like a little younger than us, you know, idolize Curry with all those 3-point shots he was making. And, you know, before people would shout Kobe, you know, and then it was like Curry. And now pretty soon everyone's going to want to mimic Ja Morant. And that's going to be a tough kind of style of game to mimic, because that dude is just so athletic. He's such a good player. It really is crazy.
See, I'm really glad you just mentioned that, because that brings me to my next question for you, Castle. We grew up with the Kobe years, LeBron years, Dwayne Wade years, Steph Curry even. Do you think it's safe to say that Ja Morant is the face of basketball? And I'm just saying Ja Morant, not Giannis, not Embiid, not Jokic, not none of those guys. I'm saying just Ja Morant. Do you think it's safe to say that Ja Morant is going to be the face of basketball?
If he keeps playing like this, absolutely. I mean, what a fun guy to watch play. He goes out there, he gives it his all, has his teammates back, amps up the team. And like Stevie said, he's such an incredible player skill-wise. Yeah, I think he's going to be the face. And it's funny, though, because you asked me a couple of years ago who the face would have been. I would have said Anthony Davis. But look where he is now. I think that, you know, these bigger guys, yeah, like, you know, Giannis, you threw around. Could he be the face of the NBA? Maybe, but
I'll do you a better one. 2 years ago, coming out of the draft, 3 years ago, sorry, Ja Morant's draft, he wasn't being the most talked about guy out of that draft. Who was being talked about the most?
Zion
Williamson.
Look where he is now. So, yeah, I mean, that's, you know, that's the point I'm trying to make is that, listen, anything can happen. There's a lot of unpredictability, but taking the question head on, yeah, especially if he wins MVP this season and you know, he only goes up, absolutely, absolutely. And he's got my vote for MVP for sure. You know, DeRozan's been having a great season. You know, he's definitely proven a case, Embiid, but Ja Morant, man, he's and I love the fact, you know, that, you know, it makes it even more special. You know, you talked about Murray State, how they're ranked. I'm sure he definitely had an impact. And he's even bringing a lot of attention to Memphis, a mid-market team. When was the last time we were talking about the Grizzlies in this type of light?
Probably when, what was it, Mike Conley?
Not even as much. Not even.
Yeah, no.
That was the last time they were good. But I don't remember the last time anyone's actually talked about Memphis, or before that, Vancouver, to be this talked about, being talked about as the most exciting team in basketball, the team that needs to be on primetime television every night. I think it's just great for the game. You see, and it's not like these big name vets that you see what the Bulls having in LaVine and Vucevic and DeMar, or the Nets having in KD, Simmons, Kyrie. It's Ja Morant, Jaren Jackson, and Desmond Bane. Ja Morant is establishing himself as a household name. And I'm pretty sure if you don't follow basketball, those are just random names that I just threw out there with Desmond Bane and Jaren Jackson. This Grizzlies team, if you were to start watching basketball right now and picking it up for playoffs, the Memphis Grizzlies are the team to watch.
And another thing, too, is Ja Morant's 22 right now. He'll be turning 23 in August. So I just hope that, you know, we have a lot more years to watch him absolutely ball out. And jeez, I mean,
so I'm older than Ja Morant.
Yeah, that's nuts. That's
crazy to think about.
That is nuts. And like, if you look by his year-by-year stats, the dude has gotten better every year. And especially from just like, you know, from his first year to second year, he got a lot better. But then just the jump from last year to this year. So if we keep seeing jumps like this, I mean, it's going to be real scary for the rest of the league. And it's going to be, and the Grizzlies are probably sitting back and being like, we got this one right. And yeah, so good for Memphis. John Morant, he's definitely going to be a popular face in the NBA for a long time. I hope so. And it's going to be fun watching him in the future.
Agreed. And before we wrap up, there's one more thing basketball related I do want to talk about. I mentioned DeMar DeRozan. He was named player of the month last month, and same with Luka Doncic. But there's also the rookies. Scottie Barnes was named rookie of the month for the East. And what people may not realize for the West was Josh Giddey. I don't know if you guys realize this, and I certainly didn't until I looked at this in more in depth. This is the fourth month in a row that Josh Giddey has won Western Conference Player of the Month.
Wow.
Now, to me, that is kind of ridiculous because I really haven't heard Giddey talked about as much to be Rookie of the Year. I've been hearing Scottie Barnes, Evan Mobley, Cade Cunningham. And yes, those are all in the East and whatever. But like Jalen Green was drafted second overall in the West. Josh Giddey was drafted number 5 or 4. And this is the fourth month in a row that he has won the award. Speaks volumes to what he's doing in OKC. And we know that they traded away their entire team and they have like 20 draft picks in the next like 3 years, basically. So that future in OKC is looking very bright with SGA and Giddey.
That could be that really could be a real nasty duo between those two. And I mean, you're starting to see teams liking those bigger ball handlers, those bigger guards, like a LaMelo, Cade, and Giddey fits that bill. I believe he's like 6'7", and he's almost a walking triple double as a rookie. So I can't imagine, you know, his jump between the next couple of years. So yeah, I think the Thunder, they got that one right. And plus he's swag. Like he's got the little flow. You know, he's humble. He's not a like cocky kind of guy. And I like his game a lot. And I think I just not that mad about it, but I would like to watch him more, but he just plays in Oklahoma and they're just not very good right now. So they don't get too many televised games, but if they get a few more pieces and then you know, you still have Shai or Shea, however you pronounce it. And then Giddey. I mean, they could be starting to become a little dangerous within the next couple of years.
We mentioned last week some of the top names to look out for in March Madness. I'm sure the Oklahoma City Thunder are going to be watching very closely because I'm sure they'd love to add a guy like Chet Holmgren or Paolo Banchero to their team to build along with that team.
Yeah, I would say they could definitely use it. They got the guards figured out. Giddey and Gilgeous Alexander, like they should be your future guards going forward. Now figure out the big men and then watch out.
And then Castle, hopefully come next week's show, there'll be a little more positivity regarding the Knicks, but
I'll be shocked if I can say anything positive about the Knicks. I'll be shocked, but hey,
you know what? I'll make it better. It is also football season again, as we have the combine going on. So hopefully there'll be some positivity about your New York Football Giants to talk about. I'm sure you're a little more optimistic about that.
Oh, man, if we're getting into the Giants next week, stay tuned. I mean, some of the stuff that I've seen today, we need the man of many hats on here as well. So, but you know what?
I think this is a good way to end because you just gave me the Adam Gase New York Jets press conference eyes where he looked coked out. So I think that's a good way to end the show.
That's that end of the day type of feels. But the difference is that I'm not going to ruin a New York quarterback. Adam Gase did. Also, Adam Gase was probably on those drugs, and I'm not. Don't do drugs, kids. That's the message.
Great way to end. Way to be classy. So thank you all for listening. We want to shout out TJ. Unfortunately, he couldn't be here tonight, but we know he'll be back next week. Hopefully, we could talk some hockey as playoff time is upon us, and the Rangers are better than the Bruins, and he's not here to yell at me for that. So I'm able to say it without needing to look over my shoulder. Rangers have a better record than the Bruins, and hopefully they keep it up riding into the playoffs. But TJ, we want to shout you out. You're killing it with social media. You got great posts coming out daily. So make sure you all check that out at the 3P Podcast on Instagram. Kevin from Wild Chat Sports. He's a great partner with us. We appreciate everything that he's done. Liberty Shirts, another sponsor of ours. We really want to thank them. Stevie, hopefully you can get a shirt soon. Your little body needs a shirt that fits you instead of ordering off the kids rack. So
yeah, there's not too many options on that, you know, kids rack. So hopefully you guys get a lot of options.
Exactly. And thank you all the listeners. You tuning in each week is why we keep pumping out content. So you keep listening, we'll keep making more episodes. So until next week, thank you and have a good night.